What is God doing right now?
If God is everywhere, why can't I see him anywhere?
Where is God?
Where is God?
Why is there so much suffering?
Why does God let this happen?
Why won't God answer my prayers?
Who's going to heaven?
How come?
Why?
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 What's the point?
What for?
Now it's time for some straight answers to awkward questions with Pastor George Samianch.
Why did God take my daughters? Hello, welcome to Straight Answers to Awkward Questions on Lutheran Radio UK. My name is George Samietz. I'm a pastor serving in the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England. And this question came by email out of a tragic situation. We have an elderly person who in the space of a few months suffers the deaths of two adult daughters from long-term illnesses. The question is both personal but also rhetorical, and I have heard variations of this question over the decades. Here is the beginning of a reply to the rhetorical side of this question. I hope you find this program helpful. Why did God take my daughters? I am saddened by death. No matter the context, and we can think of both traumatic and less traumatic deaths, there are many emotions deeply experienced whirling around in the face of death because it is so wrenching and final. Jesus wept in the context of death and bereavement at the grave of Lazarus, even though he would moments later bring Lazarus back to life and set him free from death's clothes and clutches for a while. Living in this world teaches us about death because it happens all around us and close to us. There is a pattern to death that we learn doesn't take away the pain, but makes sense to us. And that is that the old die. We expect to bury our parents, to bury people older than us. And that's hard enough. But to bury our children seems even more monstrous and simply wrong. That is, it's against the order of things. The deaths of those younger than us turns up the volume on the trauma of death. And even if there is some relief in our thoughts because maybe suffering has now ended, the whole dying and death thing is still horribly horrible, because what we want is our loved ones here with us and healthy. There are no simple answers to our question today. And if there were simple answers, they A. wouldn't bring the deceased back, and B. knowing such answers wouldn't necessarily be comforting and may make life seem even more meaningless. But this doesn't mean that there aren't answers to our question today. It's just that they're not necessarily simple. The first answer to "Why did God take my daughters?" is to reply, "Which God is your God? What is his name?" The point here is that many religions will have answers. So Muslims will say that the deaths were the will of Allah. Eastern religions will talk about karma and a search for enlightenment, and the deaths were part of the deceased's journey as their souls transmigrate to other bodies. I'm going to make an assumption now that the person asking today's question is associating or linking or meaning the word God to be the Christian God. I'm also going to assume that this grieving person knows that this God, the Christian God, is known by his love. And this is the issue, isn't it? The grieving person now doesn't feel any love, and worse, feels grief and pain, and this isn't what the God of love ought to be doing. What happens often is that people equate love with good things and happiness and life. Long life, blessings, and death and grieving don't fit. This idea that love is all good things is only part of the picture or understanding in Christianity. Remember that possibly the most well-known Bible verse is John chapter 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. So God's love for us meant giving to us, and this giving is most clear at the crucifixion of Jesus. The Bible and Christian teaching point again and again to the cross, to the crucified Jesus, as the clearest picture of God's love. God's love is always in action, helping and rescuing us. Why? Because we are trapped in this world that we have made of sin and death. Sin and death are our contributions to the planet and to each generation, and we know that it is our behaviours that can certainly enhance and magnify sin and death. I think death would be more bearable, still horrible though if it is your loved one who dies, but more bearable if there was a simple cause and effect. The more badly behaved, the sooner you die, and the better behaved you are, the longer you lived. But we all hear and can say that actually life and death are unfair, precisely because we see the good suffering and dying, and the bad getting away with things and living. Christianity teaches that we have made a world of death and we are trapped in a world of death, and God has chosen to step into His creation and rescue us by becoming one of us and dying for us. Jesus' death robs death of its power to keep us away from life, hence all the talk of eternal life with and because of Jesus. God has acted mysteriously. No one expected Jesus to be God and to be crucified and cursed by God. This is the scary thing about Christianity, that discipleship involves dealing with the cross of Jesus and daily carrying our cross, which means behaviour stuff, working on our behaviour each day, struggling with our sins, living in repentance, trying to serve those around us, and aware that in this we can go through times of hardship and suffering. Sometimes God helps us by taking such suffering away or lessening it, and sometimes He helps us by being with us, supporting us through the suffering. We always want God to take the pain away, and Jesus asked for this to happen too in the Garden of Gethsemane just before His arrest, but He learnt obedience and accepted God's will for Him. So Christianity takes on the world as it is, life as we experience it, not a fairy tale version, but the real, yucky, messy, unfair, scary life that is around us and can be us. And what we can clearly say about God's will in Christianity is that A, God wants all people to be saved and to know Jesus and God's rescue and love, and B, that God's will is not our will, and it may at times involve suffering, but that God works all things to draw us to Him and to love. So even if it appears that God is cruel or an ogre or capricious, we are left with the mystery that Jesus suffered and died for us, and so nothing, not even what it is that makes us say that God is cruel or an ogre or capricious, can separate us from God's love in Christ Jesus. Our pain and turmoil, anger and grief whirl around us seeking to consume us, but only the God of the cross, even if we're angry with Him, can offer us comfort and hope, but not necessarily any answer to the why questions. The answers to the why questions are not comforting. Why did a person die? In Christianity, the answer, theologically, is because of sin. Sin in the person, and sin in the world, which is everything that opposes life and love, such as our bad behaviours, disease, or the evil of others. Instead, what is comforting is the gospel. This means Jesus and what He says. Your sins are forgiven. Or, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in Me, even though he dies, yet will he live. Jesus also says, I am with you always. And a special one for me, John chapter 16, verse 33, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. These words from Jesus bring hope and comfort to those who mourn and lift up crying eyes to look at the cross and see that God understands your grief and the horribleness of this world and has done something about it. We want God to wave a magic wand, but instead a cross is lifted up so that the power of sin and death to have the last word on anything is broken. God doesn't kill people for the purpose of testing their loved ones. God allows death to happen so that all involved, those dying, and all those around them supporting them while they live and mourning them after they have died, because these are the consequences of our sinful world. God knows our lot on this planet and has acted in Jesus so that the dying and the grieving and the suffering and all of us might be drawn to God to be helped and comforted by the crucified and risen Jesus. God can work in all situations, even the darkest ones, to help us, because He's not afraid of the dark, or of our scorn or anger or confusion. In Christianity, death is our problem, and God uses even it to draw us to Him, whether we are dying or grieving or both. A Bible passage perhaps to read and consider is John chapter 11. Note that Jesus delayed going to Lazarus who died. Note that the sisters complained and were grief-stricken, but they didn't comprehend that with Jesus, death isn't the end. And while Jesus did raise Lazarus from the dead, this action sealed his own death warrant. Listening to Jesus' words in this chapter can speak to us today, because Jesus is alive today, and offer us hope with the promise that death doesn't have the last word in this world, because Jesus' own grave is empty. The world hasn't been able to put Jesus back into the grave now for nearly 2 millennia, and it never will be able to do so. And that means that there is comfort when the world goes dark and bleak and seems so arbitrary and cruel, when death strikes those younger than us. For Jesus offers himself to all, and he does help, however hopeless the situation or helpless we see ourselves. Today's question is so hard that we don't want to ever ask it. But Jesus is ever present, ready to help long before the question is asked. He is not our genie, but our Lord. Yet he commits himself to serve us, but not on our terms. And his cross and empty tomb testify that he is good and can be trusted. Jesus can help us through each day of living in this world, even the day when death comes ever so close. If you'd like some straight answers, send your awkward questions to me, George Samyets, at Lutheran Radio UK. That is at info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Goodbye.